Welcome to the Solution Focused Schools Unlimited podcast series. My name is Dr. Linda Metcalf, and I'm the author of Counseling Towards Solutions, the first book published in 1995 that took the solution-focused approach into schools for kindergarten through 12th grade students. It is now being revised and is available for purchase at Routledge.com. This podcast is a unique one for me to do, but it is one that I'm very compelled to do after another recent school shooting. You know, I know across the country we are doing our very, very best to find ways to protect our youth in schools, protect our teachers and communities from school violence. We are very reactive. We do things such as build taller fences around the school. One school has actually put barbed wire on top of their fence around their school. Others are doing things such as putting more policemen in schools and having students take clear backpacks so things can be noticed and observed and watched. We're talking to our students and we're doing drills with them. And those drills are fantastic in that they give the students a way to react should something horrible begin to happen in their schools. But I have some other ideas in addition to these very, very helpful ideas that I'd like to share with you that I think go just a little bit deeper. You know, in every single school, what tends to happen after a shooting is that we gather together and start thinking, what could we do? What could we have done? What else can we do to keep our students safe? And the adults gather around a table and they talk, and they're all such well-meaning adults. They all are focusing on the health and the safety of the students. And I congratulate them, and I'm so proud that they are doing such things. But you see, I think they're missing out on a very important audience that may have ideas for them, the students. Recently, I asked a group of adolescents if, by chance, they knew of other students in their school that were maybe a little scary, or maybe students that they were concerned about. One student said to me, yes, there's a boy in our school that we know. He gets online and he looks at ammunition and he looks at guns and we all wonder, you know, is something going on with him? And another person said, yeah, there's this girl in class and she draws a lot of guns and she shares it with her friend who's a guy and they look at the guns and sometimes they draw people that are bleeding. And I asked them, I said, what do you all do with that information? And they said, well, there's not much we can do. We can tell a teacher, but, you know, lots of times they just shake it off because they're so busy. And I started thinking to myself, here we are in some schools. We've got 500 elementary school students. In middle school, we may have 1,000 school students. And in high schools, we could have up to 3,000 students or even more. What if they all became Sherlocks? What if they all began to tell us exactly what they notice about the people in their classes? What if they began to give us information that might help us notice the kids that are a little bit challenging and concerning? And I'm not saying do anything with those students. I'm saying instead, get to know those students. Yeah. You know, there is a saying about the pipeline to prison that happens a lot in our schools in the U.S., where I think very well-meaning administrators do their best to make sure that kids are profiled. Yep, they are. Sent to the office, suspended, policies are followed, and then the kids come back and defend again, and they're suspended again. It's not working, everyone. It's just not. And so when I hear adolescents tell me that, yes, we know who kids are that should be noticed, what I think about is an idea that administrators might try out. And that's the first idea I want to share with you all today. Just imagine for a second that when maybe a student did notice a kid who was a little off track and doing things that were concerning to the student. And the student talks to the teacher, and the teacher talks to the administrator, and the administrator calls the kid in. And instead of reprimanding the student, the administrator puts aside a referral or puts aside any preconceived notions about the student, shakes the person's hand and says, "Hey, I just want to get to know you a little bit. It seems like you're not very involved in school, and I would love to see how we can get you involved. I hear you've got some talents." Can you imagine, everyone, what might go on in the mind of a young adolescent who was dealing with challenges, who was possibly thinking of violent acts, who was possibly thinking of all the things maybe they've gone through in their life? Maybe at home is, maybe home is not a really healthy place to be. And here's an adult at school who says, "You know, put aside all that stuff. I just want to get to know you." Imagine the same kind of conversation with a student that did need to be suspended. You know, I'm not suggesting we don't follow policies. We have to do that to keep kids safe. But what if a student comes in who has done something disrespectful or acted out in a way that's not appropriate and it breaks the rules and they have to get suspended? Sure, administrators can suspend them. But again, after that policy is followed, what if that administrator pulled up their chair to the student and said, "Okay, we've done that. We're going to follow through. You're going to be out for a couple of days. But again, I want to get to know you. Tell me who you are. I'll tell you a little bit about me too. I've got two kids. I like to fish. I like to play soccer on the weekends and been a teacher a long time. Now I'm a principal. That's who I am. Tell me about you." Find out about that student. Get to know that student. It's the engagement, everyone, that we're missing out on with students who are disengaged. That engagement may make the difference between a student thinking nobody cares for them at school to a thought of, "Hey, that administrator, that principal actually wanted to know who I was. Wow." And what if that principal or administrator took it a step further in that conversation and said, "Okay, thanks for telling me about yourself and your family and your sister and your dog and your cat. And, you know, I know you're a sophomore here at our high school. Tell you what, you are going to be out for a couple of days suspended because of what happened. But when you come back, I want you to stop by here when you come into the school that day. And I'm going to walk you down to your first teacher and let the teacher know that we are going to be finding ways to get you involved in school because I believe you're a student who needs to be involved. All of our students are important to me. You are important to me." And ask the teacher in front of the student, "Teacher," and you've done this probably before you've introduced the student, hopefully that's a little background you're going to be doing. Ask the teacher to work with that student during the next class period and just for a few minutes, maybe before or after the class, about joining a group that she has going. Maybe she's the sponsor of the chess club or sponsor of the science club or sponsor of a debate club. And ask the teacher to talk to the student about joining one of those groups. I think it would go a long way for a student who was out of sorts, disengaged, having thoughts that were not very healthy, to be invited by a school administrator to join other students in the high school or middle school, wherever they are. I think it could make a difference. The second idea I have for you today is to realize that, again, going back to what I mentioned earlier in this podcast, in every school we have maybe 500 elementary school students or less. We may have up to 1,000 middle school students, maybe 3,000 or more high school students. They all are there every single day in the midst of other student colleagues, and they know. They know what's going on. They know. And what if you, as a school counselor or principal, asked every teacher in your school just for one day, just for 10, 15 minutes at the end of a class, you choose the day. And here will be the question I would love for you to ask the kids. Something like, "Student, you know, the administration and I and all of your teachers here are naturally very concerned for your safety. We care about every single one of you. We want you to be able to come to school and relax and not worry. And we have ideas of what we're doing. I mean, we are giving you clear backpacks. We are making sure we have an extra resource officer. We are having other things go on that will be done to protect you and make sure that you know what to do in the event of something that happens in our school. But those are our ideas. I'd love to know what your ideas are. What else could we do to begin to keep you safe? And let the students brainstorm. I think many of us would be surprised at some of the answers we might hear. I know when I've gone into schools and asked that question to a small group of adolescents, they've often said things like, "Well, miss, you know, a lot of stuff happens in the cafeteria that people don't know about. There's kids that talk about hurting other kids, and we often know about that. So maybe you could have a place where we could go and tell somebody, and we wouldn't get in trouble, and maybe the kid we talk about doesn't know it's us. That would help." Okay. That's just one example of what I've heard. I can only imagine just casting that net very wide and asking students what else could be going on that would help you feel safe. You could even use the miracle question. Do students say tomorrow you come to school and for some reason on that day, we as a staff, we as teachers were doing something that made you feel even safer? What would we be doing? What else would be going on? What would your principal be doing? What else would be going on? If there was a student that was, in your eyes, a little concerning, what might you be doing about that? We need your help. We'd like to make you a Sherlock. In other words, we want to make you a detective, a student detective, and not to just stoop on people, but to watch out for something that you think we need to know about to keep you very safe. I can imagine young children also participating in this, possibly from second grade on up to grade 6. I think they have ideas. They hear things too. They hear about the shootings from their family. It's everywhere. Giving them a chance to tell you what it is. Again, when kids have a chance to participate in their preferred future, there's a better chance, number one, that they'll come up with ideas for us, and a better chance, number two, that they'll follow through when we ask them to do things. Everybody wants to belong, you know? That's Maslow's idea. Help me belong. Help me feel part of something. We've forgotten to involve the students, the very people that we're trying to protect. I can only imagine what might happen if we decided to do that. And here's my third idea. Before I share this idea, which may be a little controversial, I want to share that I am a teacher first. I started out my career as a middle school art and earth science teacher. I loved working in middle school. I was fortunate at one point to work with kids on the newspaper, student council, in a variety of other situations, and I loved every second of it. Just loved interacting with them. But I learned something along the way. At first, I wasn't as lucky as having kids like to be around me and trust me. The first year I was a teacher, I was told to make sure I carried a very heavy stick and not engage too much with students and never, ever talk with them about anything personal. I was told to do that. The second year I went back, I put all that aside and just decided to be myself because, you see, I really loved working with those kids. And they knew it. And as a result, I went on and had 8 amazing years in that same middle school. It was great. I was lucky because I realized that what I was doing the first year was not working. A lot of our teachers today still struggle with what to do with acting out students, disrespectful students, the very students, everyone, that go out sometimes and do horrible things that we've seen over the past years in schools. And I truly do believe that our dear teachers need additional ideas because, again, in education courses, they are still not taught how to work with the acting out student. The only thing they're really encouraged to do is send them to the office. But see, when you do that, the student is reprimanded, possibly given a consequence, and sent right back to the same teacher, the same system, and there's no doubt it will occur again. But what if our teachers, our very dear teachers, had additional ideas, such as the first time a student acted out in Mr. Johnson's classroom, that he stopped the lesson for a minute, gave the students some direction on what they needed to keep on working on, and he invited Sam to step outside into the hallway for a minute. And instead of saying to Sam, "Sam, what you're doing is inappropriate. I'm going to send you to the office if you don't stop doing it," the teacher looks at Sam and says, "It looks like you're having a hard time concentrating in my class this morning. I care about you as one of my students. You are very important to me. What can you and I do when we go back into the classroom so we can get through this class? You might learn something and I can continue to teach other students because it's really important to me." This actually happens, everybody, in certain schools across the world where teachers step out and talk. This took me about 30 seconds to tell you this. What happens a lot of times is it very quickly de-escalates the situation. Students are rather aghast at a teacher talking to them that way. They don't know what to do with it. It changes their mindset as to who the teacher is. The teacher stays calm. The teacher builds a new relationship with the student. So many things happen in a short scenario like that. What if your teachers had information on the solution-focused approach? If you go to my website, you will find something called Teacher Ideas for Working with Students. It is free. Please go there, download it, give it to everybody you know who is a teacher. The ideas are there because I care very much that our teachers have new ways of working with kids. I truly believe that this is another way to stop that pipeline to prison. It's another way to maybe appease a kid who comes to school after a horrible night at home, is feeling badly about themselves. Maybe they're sleepy and they put their head on the desk. And what happens at first? An unknowledgeable teacher gets on them, criticizes them, says awful things. It happens. We all know that. And pretty soon the kid's even more upset. Imagine being somebody in a world where wherever you go, you're in trouble. Wherever you go, somebody's got something negative to tell you. Eventually, you begin to believe them and you do bad things. Now, I'm not saying that that student's not responsible for acting out. I'm not saying that. And we need to follow policies. But like I mentioned earlier in this podcast, follow the policy, then put it aside and get to know the kid as somebody important because they are. Every kid in your school is important, should be important enough to you. And I think it really is, or you wouldn't be listening to me. Every student is important enough to take the time to get to know them. I know I look back over the years I've had the chance to meet many wonderful principals. And I remember one principal who did a fantastic exercise, and I'll tell you about it so you can do it in your school if you like. He gathered his faculty together and he put them into grades at tables. So they were all same grade, same table. And then he gave them a roster of students in their grade. And here was the chore. He said, "I want you to check off the students that you know pretty well on the roster." So everybody got busy and looked at the roster and made all the checks on it. And after about 10, 15 minutes, he came back to them. He said, "Okay, now here's what we're going to do. Between now and when I meet you again in a faculty meeting, I want you to get to know the students you didn't check off." That was a brilliant exercise. The teachers were a little bit taken back by that. But here's the thing. Relationships can save kids. Relationships in schools can save kids, keep them from acting out. I've seen it so many times, I couldn't even begin to tell you all the cases I've had and seen and been told about, where teachers learn these ideas and they try them with kids and the kids turn around and the kid never goes to the office. Imagine a school like that. Three ideas. I'm hoping that I've given you something to think about in this podcast. It's extremely important to me to share it with you. And then I hope that with all my heart, you share it with your school. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast today. It is always my intention to bring the solution-focused mindset a little closer into your life so that the school and your school community can benefit. My interest is always in keeping kids safe, helping kids feel the very, very best that they can feel, and helping teachers to be the teachers they always wanted to be. The ideas expressed in this podcast are simply for that purpose. Feel free to go to my website at Solution Focused Schools Unlimited and find more free resources that you can download and give to your teachers and staff. Additionally, make sure that you register for my SF Connection. I started it in March 2020 as a response to the pandemic, and it's been going strong ever since. I now do that every other week. It is free. There is one CEU given every time you attend it, and you can just register for it. When you go to the website, you'll see where to register, and then you'll also be getting something called Monday Ideas. That is something I send out every Monday morning so that you have a solution-focused idea or tip for the week that you can use to continue on your solution-focused work. Thank you for listening to me and being so supportive over the past few years of this podcast series. I now have 20,000 listens, so that is very exciting to me that people are that interested in what I do. And again, as I always say at the end, may the solution force always be with you. Thank you.